You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network.
Good morning, Dwayne.
Good morning, David. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. A pleasure to be here. How are you today?
I'm well.
Well, good. Am I.
Are you?
Yes. Doing well, watching the market today. And if you'd like, we can get started right now, and then we'll go from there.
Okay.
First of all, yesterday I had mentioned to you during the show that above 1,002, the next level was the 1,006 level. This was in our support and resistance panel for yesterday. The market did make a swing high of 1,005, and you can see that on the Globex overnight, they got to 1,006. They tested that level, and the market reacted off that, which is not an unusual reaction off of that level. This again shows the value. I think you'll agree that the value of having the not just the ordinary chart support and resistance levels, but also these other levels that are based upon numbers themselves, and how valuable they can be when there is no chart support or resistance level, unless you have recorded something important on the way down, which most people won't keep that kind of record, you know, going back a long ways to see where markets will go. And I'm not even sure, having done that, because I know one of your other providers there does do that, and I'm not sure off the top of my head if this matches something from a long time ago on the way down. You follow what I'm saying?
Gotcha, yeah.
That would have been a chart support point. So the market... go ahead.
I was just rolling back to my Globex session last mm-hmm. night, and would you say it tested 106 on the Globex?
Yeah, it went to 106.50.
$1,006.50. Do you have an exchange time when that happened? I'm trying to find it on my chart.
Let's take a look here. It did happen in this morning's 6:30 hour.
Oh, okay. I was
which is Chicago time, by the way. So keep that in mind.
Way back at last night. Okay.
Yeah. No, just 6:30 this morning,
that's
Chicago time. 4:30 Pacific time.
There it is. Okay. Now, my question was going to be, do you think, because there, as you mentioned, there's a pretty good reaction off of that.
Uh-huh.
Active traders in the market or people with open positions overnight, their stops getting hit?
I'm not sure I understand the question. Do I think they will get hit?
No.
I don't know.
No, this reaction to the downside. Okay,
uh-huh.
When we broke 1,006,
uh-huh.
do you think there were a bunch of resting stop, you know, people who... well, no. Hang on. Let me rethink
mm-hmm.
my question here.
Mm-hmm.
No, that would not be the case.
No, I don't think so.
No. Yeah, I answered my own question. All I had to do was
okay.
think it through.
That's fine. Sometimes I do that too, Wayne. I'll start asking a question and I'll realize it's not even a question that needs
okay.
to be asked.
Yeah.
But I think what you're trying to say is... What maybe in the fundamental world, what was the reason for the decline? Is there some, or maybe this is not it, but, you know, was there some large number of, did a large number of people believe that this would be a place to be short, or were there a lot of stops that got hit on the way down as their decline started? I think it's more or less really just a natural cycle that the market, you know, reached an important level. And for the last day or so, just for your, I don't know if you knew this or not, or if we mentioned it, but we had mentioned yesterday at about midday Chicago time that the market needed to come down and test 993, which is what we call a natural level on the downside.
Mm-hmm.
And late yesterday, the market advanced up. It finally finished the 1,006, and then it came down and did 993 today. So, again, can you get a sensing, and maybe this will help you, that what the market is trying to do is it's trying to complete these levels, these either chart points which are important and or mathematical levels where the numbers themselves are important, technical numbers that are important on their own, the market attempts to complete them and then swing to an opposing level. So it did in fact go up to 1,006 on Globex. It turned around and then it went straight down today, first hour, and completed the 993 level. This is a very, what we saw today, which is unusual because the market has not been operating in a normal mode. This is normal behavior now, what we saw today. The market reached 1,006, swing back down to 993, which is a natural level on the downside. That's how the market works. It satisfies these various different levels, and once having satisfied them, returns back to some previous important level that is associated numerically or in other ways to that level. So, when we talked about the technical analysis of mere numbers, which we've done on a couple of occasions,
right,
this is part of that behavior where the market fulfills two separate numbers which have a relationship to each other. They are connected in a certain way. And that's why in many cases we can say things like, you know, if the market touches this level and reverses, it's going to go to this level. Because those two numbers have a relationship below the surface, so to speak, that connects them. And the market wants to satisfy, by satisfying either one of them, it needs to satisfy both. It does one and the other at the same time. It's a very interesting principle. And the market fulfills that time after time. And this is one of the principles in spatial relationship forecasting, is that the market treats two numbers as one. So when it completes one number, like 1,006, which we talked about yesterday, it then reverses and completes another number which is numerically connected under the surface, meaning not right on the, not just obviously, but there's a deeper, if you want to use that word, connection between those two numbers, and the market swings back to that second number because in touching one, it really wants to touch both. And that's what it does over and over again. And it does this on very large scales and very small scales. I don't want to go into the details right now, but okay, the crash of 87 is exactly such a phenomenon. But it occurred on an extremely large scale. The scale that it occurred on was a 40-year scale. So that means that it took 40 years of market movement, as strange as that sounds, it took 40 years of market movement to add up enough time and pressure and then finally reaching an important price for the market to then have to satisfy not only the top it made that in that period, but also the bottom that it made. And so that very thing that we're seeing happen here on a very small scale, touching 1,006, declining to 993. Both those numbers were given to our subscribers in advance as necessary to be touched. That sharp decline is itself just the same thing as the crash of 87, except the crash of 87 took 40 years to build up to be able to have those two widely divergent numbers connected so that the market would indeed try to satisfy both of them at the same time. Now, it can't do it at the same time. It can't be in two places at one time. But what it is trying to do is it's trying to get to that number as fast as it can. And it did so then, and it did so here. So this is just a very small version of a very large event that happened in 87. So there's more to this than I can, you know, if you could see it visually, the words are much, much more confusing to follow than is a simple drawing. The old saying of, you know,
right,
what is the old saying? A picture's worth 1,000 words.
There you go.
And except for a politician, 1,000 words is better than a picture. But a picture's worth 1,000 words. And this is difficult to put into words that are easy to follow because one little bump in the verbiage and suddenly you're thrown off. But you get the idea that there are actually two numbers that are related, that the market swings between them very quickly because it treats both of them as one once one of them is completed. So yesterday when we messaged that 993 is the natural downside target, the ideal scenario is for the market to swing to the 1,006 level and come down and do 993. We, because the market has not been acting normally in this very compressed uptrend, we were willing to just say, listen, 993 is the downside target. Let's see if we can maybe put a position on and short to that. But they did indeed go on the Globex and finish 106, which tells me that we're starting to see a little bit more normal behavior. And that's a good sign. That's a very good sign because it means the market is going to be much more tradable for others as well as ourselves because our system is set up to trade what we would consider to be normal volatility or high volatility. And when the market's very compressed and a very powerful uptrend, it's difficult for it to swing to natural levels on the downside. And this is very much such a market up till now. So we might see a little bit later today a little bit higher prices. We had a forecast just for people who might be listening or might be interested, that under normal conditions today, the market firming up at 993 would advance to 999. And this is a super trade that we had given out a couple of days ago. And the same set of conditions have arrived here, which is somewhat unusual for the market to do that. So the test that the market just made down at 993 would normally result in the market going up to 999 or attempting 999 in this time period. So we'll see if we can get the market up there and maybe take a trade off of that as well. I've been doing a lot of talking here. How are you seeing it here, Dwayne? If you don't mind my asking.
I started 996 down to 994, took a couple points, and I have no. Well, I'm being honest. I'm watching the S&P Cash daily chart.
Okay.
If we close where we opened, anywhere near there, then I think we've got a retracement underway. We've dilly dallied around this 1,000 mark.
Yes.
And
yes.
We broke it, fine. But mm-hmm. there was no buying stampede as we crossed that level. Suddenly
right.
There weren't any big money managers coming out adding to their positions. So,
mm-hmm.
But there's been no sell-off either. It's been quiet, I know it sounds like I'm some kind of perma bear because I'm always talking about this market retracing. But I've studied charts over time,
mm-hmm.
From 1 minute to 1 year and well beyond, and that's what markets do.
Uh-huh.
They move up, and then they retrace, and then they move up, and then they...
Under most conditions, they do that, and under very unusual conditions, they have a very parabolic or straight-line type move. By the way, just as we're speaking here, they're attempting completion of the super trade. They're trying to get up to 99 right now. The forecast was for an advance from 03 up to 99, up to, from 93 up to 99, and they're attempting to do that now, and this is what we were trying to trade for earlier.
That was a quick pop too.
That was a quick pop, and that's just how they're doing it these days. They're making it harder to be on it. They finish up the move very quickly. But I do want to address something that you just said. Is that it's very true. You do know how markets operate by watching them over a long period of time. And one of the things that markets do is, and it's rare, but they do have sometimes extended moves that exceed all expectations, technical or otherwise. And this market has had an unusually powerful move, and we knew here, we didn't know that it would be unusually large until they broke out above the forecast July 16th daily top. That top didn't even show up on the chart. It looks nothing like an inversion, and the market just continued. So at that point, we knew that there was a very, very powerful force under the market that would potentially send it to much higher prices. When that type of event happens, we're very cautious on the short side because the market usually has all of its surprises then in the direction of the trend. And we've had a really good move here. We've had a very powerful continued directional move. It is unusual, and under certain sets of conditions, we'll see this has happened this time, and it will happen again in the future at some point where the market's capable of all coming together for this. This is certainly not a single group or a single company buying the market or manipulating the market. This is not the government manipulating the market. You know, Barack Obama wishes he could manipulate the market and do this. What this is a really darn good rally. And that's all it is. It's just a very powerful number of forces that came together to put this together so that the market could just continue on, run through, break through important levels, and continue the trend higher. This weekend in our report, we may have something with regard to the top of this and how many points retracement we're expecting, because we are coming into a very important period, and we'll go into it in the report, and we'll talk about it next week.
I mean, you have a monthly turning point coming up, right?
We do. Well, actually, we had originally called for the month of July to mark a top, plus or minus 1 month.
Okay.
And July made a what we call a pivot low, which means that it made a low lower than the previous month. And when a market inverts, which means that if you're expecting a top, it actually puts in a bottom in an ongoing uptrend. When that happens, it will often put that kind of a movement in. And so we have put in our report that we are somewhat cautious here, not only because of what they did on the July 16th top, on the daily top, which they blew right through like it wasn't even there, which is very powerful, but also because of what they did on the July monthly chart, which is that they were able to put in what potentially later could be seen as a pivot low in an uptrend. It's kind of hard to, you know, the wording of all this makes it difficult. If I could visually show this to you or your listeners, it would be a lot easier. But yes, the answer is yes. We had called for a monthly top in July. We're already in August now, so we're in the 1 month late period. And what's important is that we want to be able to calculate the minimum number that the market will decline off of the then current high. And that can be a very powerful and very important trade to put to use. So I'll let you know that when we've done that.
Okay.
And when the system comes up with that, it might be very useful to have that. It's going to be a big number. So it'll be tradable. You know, it's not something like an 8-point move or something where you could easily miss it, but it's going to be something much larger than that. And that's one of the values of having the information in advance, is that you can know that the market, in spite of corrections, is going to go to a certain minimum level in order to satisfy an ordinary principle that occurs in the market. So the downside reaction should be important. Now, if we do reach, let me just say this about our forecast today for a firming up at 93 and then an advance to 99. If the market does get up to 99 here, we've got to 98.25 so far. If we get to 99, and if they have some failure there, that'll probably be a 30-minute, 15-minute hourly close below. If they start to fail there, that also would be an important place for a short entry. But we'll judge that at the time because, again, until the market starts showing a little bit more normal behavior, even if it completes this and we're happy to see it, the fact is that it's really still well inside a very compressed uptrend. And uptrends, very powerful uptrends, have their own type of behavior, which is definitely not the same as normal swing trading. So, and we both know that. We've both seen that type of behavior, having watched markets for so long, that a compressed uptrend is a very different beast to be dealing with than is a normal swing trading market with its average normal rallies and declines, etc. So, they are trying to get up there now. They'll probably complete that in a moment. And if we do have a minute here, I know you're probably running a little late for today, or I don't know if you are, but
actually, I've got some time, so whatever you want to talk about, we're good.
Well, I was just going to mention something quick on soybeans, just our other market that we like. Today's, we were looking to buy the market. We didn't get into it today, but we were looking to buy at $10.25. The market got down to 10.23. It's now trading at 10.33. We missed that trade. We were not able to execute that trade. So, you know, it'd be nice to have been in that, but we missed it, and we'll just wait for the next opportunity. And again, look at, we missed the trade. We're not going to change anything in our approach. We're not going to be frustrated and say, well, the next time we're going to do something a little more aggressive to be sure we get in that trade. All of that is junior high school thinking with regard to trading. And you have to graduate from elementary school. You have to graduate from junior high. You have to graduate from high school to have the kind of thinking that allows you to trade the markets correctly meaning managing the risk and doing the right thing under a large number of market conditions. You can't know all the conditions in advance, but you can know enough of them so that for the most part you can do the right thing most of the time. And that's an important piece in the, or tool in the trading kit, that you must be able to act correctly. you know, in real life, again, I've said this so many times, and I'm just going to say it again because it is such a great analogy. If you could trade the markets, I'm talking to everybody, if you could trade the markets the same effective way that you drive your car, how you look, how you manage the risk, how well you manage risk when you drive your car, how you look carefully before you change your lanes, and if there's a car there, even though you're frustrated and want to move over, you don't change because you understand what the downside is. I mean, if you think through the analogy, you trade risk, you manage risk beautifully when you're driving your car. Just do that in the markets. Trade like you drive. Trade like you manage risk in other areas. It's not just driving. You're probably doing something else in your life where you're very effectively managing risk. And then when you get in front of the markets, you just go off, you know, like you know, Timothy Leary on LSD, and you do anything you know you want, and then later somebody has to wake you up and tell you that there's nothing left in the account. There's no need to do that. You already have the skills. This is such an important point. What if you already have the skills to trade effectively, but you just haven't made the intellectual connection? What if you just haven't made the connection that, gosh, I'm doing in another area of my life exactly what I need to be doing in the market? There's a word. It's called meditation. Mm-hmm. Meditation is not a mysterious thing. To meditate on something is to sit down and to quietly, as an example, there's many meanings for meditation, but to sit down and to really slowly examine something, to really get your mind off of other things and to take a look at something objectively without a lot of emotion, without any distracting forces, to sit in a darkened room inside yourself and to really look at something. And I'm going to suggest that for those of you who are interested in improving your skills, to sit down, and whether you want to call it a meditation or whatever, to look inside and connect some of the things that we're talking about here together. Connect how effectively you're able to manage risk in other areas of your life, how expertly you're able to do it, and how differently you act when you're in front of the market, and what really is stopping you? What obstruction is there that's stopping you from taking that skill set in another area of your life and merely applying the same thing to this area? The only thing that's stopping you is A, there's two things. One, that you never made that connection. And two, fear or greed. The fact that the markets hit your fear and greed button too hard, and then you act stupidly or foolishly and do the wrong things. If you'll do this, if you'll take the time to do this, you'll find that there are other areas in your life, I believe, that you are managing risk correctly and could be applied to the market. So instead of saying, gosh, I wish I could meet somebody that could do this, gosh, I wish I could be like the people I read about in books, and please stop reading trading books, I've talked about that before. If you could just make this connection, suddenly you'd realize, hey, I actually don't need that external stimulation. I actually just need to connect what I already am doing in other areas of my life very effectively to this area. I'm telling you, that will take you very far. There's a very powerful principle there that it's in you now. You're doing it already. Put that to use. It's better than 100 books. It's better than listening to 100 advisors. It's better than anything because it's sourced from you yourself, from your own already existing connection with this other thing that you do in life, whether it's driving a car or managing another business or whatever it is you do. Apply that principle. See if that's not helpful to you. Stop looking to others as if they have something you don't have. They may have just effectively connected some other area in their life to the markets before you. That doesn't mean you can't do it, though. And now that you have the idea, as far as I'm concerned, you have no excuse not to. You must do it. The day can and must come when you start to connect the more effective way you handle other areas of your life with your trading. And I promise you that that will improve your trading. It'll improve your outlook about trading. And you'll find that you have a skill set you already had. And I told the story many times already, and I'm not going to tell it again, but I found this to be the truth because I was trading for somebody many years ago who I was afraid I was going to lose their money, and I made them 100% per year. And I have the statements, and Duane, when we meet you, I'll show you them sometime, for 3 years in a row. And at the same time, in my own account, I was decimating my own account. And that's an understatement. So in other words, I was trading like an expert in an account where I couldn't afford to lose a dime. And I was trading like a miserable, you know, man with some indicators and a trading screen in my own account. And so I really did know how to manage risk, and in some way I was connecting my ability in another area of life to her account, but I wasn't connecting it to my own account. So I know it's a fact that it can be done. So I hope that's a helpful idea. We've talked about it before in here, but it's certainly worth repeating and thinking about and meditating on.
Well, you know, in the same thing holds true, I believe, in the service that you provide with PageTrader. You may not physically be trading other people's money, but the information that you provide, you know that other people are trading real money with that information, which causes it to be, as you said, you know, your best work.
That's right. We attempt we do the very best we can to only put out our very best work. We don't put out halfway signals or things that might this, that, or the other. If we put it out, if it's in our system, it's our best work. And I want to say, just this is not to pat myself on the back, but it's not that easy to do that. You really have to think, and you really have to put your work together, whatever it is, to always put out your best work. And I think you've seen for yourself that, and again, I want to say this with the understanding that it has a sales pitchiness to it, but I don't really intend it that way, that how often the numbers are correct, how often they're consistent. That consistency is not an accident. That consistency is a result of understanding a certain principle and waiting for it to occur. And even if we have some other number that's kind of a halfway thing, we don't put that out. We only put out what we really understand for sure, and know that that's our best work with regard to that. And that has made our product very popular, and we hope to be able to continue to do that over many, many years. And we hope that people are, of course, and we think they are, getting some value out of that and being able to trade off of it. Many people have asked us over the years about training, about learning how to do this for themselves. And I've never said this to you before, but we are in the beginning stages now of coming out with a product next year, which would potentially be a product that would allow people to understand a portion of the principle and be able to put some of this together for themselves. And that would be in an ebook format so that people could really understand it and put it to work in their own trading. And we're hoping that we can put that together. There's a lot of things we have to get lined up in order to make that happen, but it's something that we're interested in doing. We've had so many questions and so many requests about it over the years. And again, we're coming into our 10th year doing this. I really mean we've been asked that so many times, and we're getting tired of telling people, you know, no, we don't have that. We're trying to come up with something that we can do that would be of good value to people to really help advance their trading and really make them see a vision for themselves in trading, that they really could put this together and make this work for themselves and always, always manage the risk on the way to doing that. Because that's where everybody crashes and burns, is on the risk side. No one crashes and burns because they made too much money. They crash and burn because they didn't manage the downside, right? I mean, that's where it all happens. So that's where the bad happens. So no matter how excited you are about a technique or an approach, you must manage the risk, and you must understand how much risk you're able to deal with. Because just like a weightlifter, you can't go from 50 to 100 pounds. You have to work your way up to that. And if you do go from 50 to 100 pounds, don't be surprised if you drop the weights or hurt yourself. So, right? I mean, that's a fair analogy.
That's true. Yeah, I just got an interesting email. Thank you, Tom. The 1,006 price level we were talking about earlier.
Yes.
And that thing that came through my head about, you know, were some stops hit there? What happened? Why 1,006? And then, you know, just looking left, it was like, well, no, there shouldn't have been any stops there. I mean, but Tom says 1,006 was the high on election night 2008.
Well, that is very interesting. I was almost expecting, is it Mike Reed from TradeStalker, to be the guy to email in. Did I get the name right?
Yep, that's Mike.
Okay.
And
because he is a man who will record all those events. Very few traders do this. I want to make a point here. I don't even know Mike Reed, but I want to make a point how important what he does is with regard to this, which is that if you are taking the time and trouble to make a note in a futures market about what a market does when many months later that market isn't going to be there, in other words, those that that area where it traded goes away because the contracts die out and new contracts come in, and those new contracts don't show the behavior back then. And what he's doing is he's actually recording what the market did on a piece of paper, a note for himself, so that way, way down the line, much later when the market does advance or decline to certain levels, he can use those notes to know that the market actually did create some buying and selling pressure at a particular level. It's brilliant. I mean, that's a very advanced, in my opinion, that's a very advanced thing to be doing. And he's mentioned it once or twice while we've talked. I think he's emailed in. And so I was really expecting that to be him when you just said that this fellow just emailed in, because I knew it was you, Mike, but it wasn't. Okay,
and
I'm sure he's still doing
fact,
it. But.
And the fact that Mike hasn't piped in on the messenger, he was a little under the weather yesterday, and I think he might still be today, because he would probably be typing something in right now if he was at his desk, but he's not. So, yeah, that's interesting, Tom. Thanks for that little bit of info there. 1,006, election high.
No, that's great. That's great information to know. Now, how did he know that?
Well,
how did he?
I don't know.
Because he must be doing something similar to that. In order to know that, or remembering, or maybe perhaps he's going into the cash market. Maybe you could, he hears us talking, hopefully, and maybe he can answer for us how he knew that. Because again, that's a rare thing. I've known a lot of traders, and very few of them will take the time and trouble and do that and actually organize those notes to keep them. Now, some do, maybe more than I'm aware of, but in my, you know, I've been doing this since 1991, I find very few traders that take the time and trouble to do that in a futures market.
Well, here's the thing. If you take, let's see, format symbol, and we go to a... monthly chart.
By the way, as you're doing that,
continuous symbol, trying to see where that 1,006 came in. Can't really. Well, you can't see it on a monthly chart. You'd have to go with a daily chart. Daily, okay. You know how he ferreted that out? I'm not exactly sure. Tom, send us an email. Let us know. I can see the day. I think I'm seeing the right day.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, go ahead. What were you going to say?
Well, no, just what I said before, that it's a fairly advanced trader that will do that and organize those levels and notes so that later, much later, he can put that together. And I just wanted to make that point, that although it's not everybody's cup of tea to do that, but somebody who's very serious about trading might do that. We solve that problem on our own way, again, because a number like 1,006, we don't have the records going back to what the market did at that point. And even if we did, for your information, they would be on a different monthly contract, wouldn't they? They would be in a contract that was several steps back.
Well, see, a lot of us use TradeStation, which has the continuous contract. And
right.
We've talked about how, you know, that, you know, I just got an email from Kevin, and Kevin said that Savant actually mentioned yesterday that 1,006 was the, now here's an email from Tom. So Kevin says that Savant mentioned it yesterday, and then I just got an email back from Tom, and it says, my memory.
Well,
okay,
message said market him
that I... What does it say here? 1,006 was another bounce high back in October, but was also a low on August the 13th, 2004. More
wow.
coming.
Would you let him know that if there's a special vitamin or something that he's taking? I would love to know what that is, because I'm having trouble remembering what I did yesterday, what happened then. That's really quite remarkable, and there are people that have memories like that, so he may just have a natural knack for that, and it obviously means enough to him to remember it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I remember a couple of key points in my trading life. Many of them are huge losses, and that's why I remember them.
Those stand out.
Those seem to, they do stand out over time. I can tell you the time and the date and everything. But putting humor aside, I can also tell you a number of times that I made realizations about how to trade more effectively, like we've talked about earlier. And I've done quite a bit of my own soul searching, if you want to call that, to straighten out my own house. You have to get your own house in order. You have to find your own way in this. To some extent, you have to understand yourself, your own motivations, and how to deal with the market. And what I said before is rather than making that into a mystery, just simply take something from another area of your life where you're already taking care of risk in a very managed way and put that to work in your trading. Don't separate your life into these compartments. Bring that other stuff into this compartment. Abolish the walls and, you know, let some other area of your life flow into your trading life. And, you know, it can be very helpful. It was really a remarkable insight for myself. And it is something that I think would be very helpful to people who take the time and trouble to work with that idea. As we were speaking here, the market did get up to the 999 level. It's basically 998.75, and they're making their initial reaction off that now. So I think, you know, basically we've covered a lot here today, and the market is quiet. It's still below 1006. This may result in a multi-day reaction off that level. There are some more important levels on the downside that we would be preferring to be a buyer at, if possible. And we'll talk about those. But today's Wednesday. We're about halfway through the week. And we are almost, I don't know exactly, but I think we're just about halfway through summer. So we're in the dog days of summer. And this is a market that under most conditions, seasonally, in the summertime, is very quiet like this. It's attempting to make, you know, complete these targets and do these little swings. And that's good. But it's really much, much more quiet than it normally would be. And we'll see, especially after Labor Day, a pickup in the market and some real volatility to come back in. On some days, it's just better to go fishing, you know, than it is to sit in front of the market and watch it all day long. And at some point, we may see this recovery bubble, you know, end.
Yeah.
As you said yesterday.
Are you in front of a browser?
I already went to it. I saw it. You sent it to me, and I took a look at it.
If you Google recovery bubble.
Uh-huh.
What's very interesting, and I've heard this said many times before, and I don't know the best way to explain it or put it, but like when new things are invented,
mm-hmm.
different people in different parts of the world
do it at the same time.
We'll get this cosmic spark, whatever it is, mm-hmm. and do it mm-hmm. at the same time. Well, some guy in Money Week, if you Google recovery bubble,
mm-hmm.
you'll see that some guy yesterday in Money Week magazine, which is something I don't read, use that term.
Listen, I'm a believer that there is a sameness. There's almost a stream of consciousness that we all sort of participate in. I don't mean to sound mysterious, but I know we have our own thoughts. But I really believe that there is some way that we are connected. I don't know exactly how it is, but that there is a connection between our individual consciousness, the fact that you're conscious in your body and that you have your own thoughts, etc., but that somehow that consciousness itself is also sort of already in a stream that other people are in. And it's, you could say mathematically that somebody else could come up with that phrase, but we've all seen enough of this in our lifetime, maybe, perhaps, some maybe not.
I certainly have.
I certainly have, too, to believe that there's some other connection. I'm using my best, you know, off the top of my head connection to say maybe it's in some way we do share a consciousness in some way, even though we can't read each other's thoughts, but in some way it connects us together. And quite often you see people inventing things of the same type simultaneously. You know, the list goes on, coming up with phrases, music, songs. People will write something and another person will write a song very similar.
Right.
They go to court and they never met each other. They never knew each other. They're on the other side of the earth, on and on. This has happened enough where, yes, the statisticians are going to tell you it's just pure chance and it's going to happen, and maybe that is the answer. I'm not trying to make it any more mysterious than that, but I think there is some other connection there.
Well, if I were to start talking about the one mind concept, you know, people would go, ooh, that's Eastern religion, you better be careful.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'll phrase it a different way. The Bible tells us that we should all strive to have the mind of Christ,
mm-hmm.
which would be
is a one mind,
which would be the mind of God. And if we're all striving to have that same mind, I think that's one mind.
Well, listen, even though that's a great explanation, you still would be required, obligatory wearing of the Twilight Zone t-shirt for at least a week, just for presenting the idea, even though you solve it like that.
Can
I
you hear the
week.
Looms swishing in the background?
Yeah. all right, well, anyway, so listen, let's see
all
what
right.
they can do with the rest of the day here. It's obviously very quiet. We had attempted to trade, we were trying to buy earlier today the 994 level for this advance up to 999. This is a super trade. It's a super trade, just again, if in our work, is a point-to-point forecast. It's where we're saying the market's going to touch this level, 93, and it's going to go right up and go to 99. Now, I just want to mention again, this market just did that, and it did that because there is a numerical connection between 93 and 99, between the numbers 993 and 999. That numerical connection is why the market did this advance from 93 to 99. It's trying to satisfy, treat both numbers as if they were one. The same reason why the market declined from 1006 on Globex down to 993. There's a connection between them. We can't find this in every set of numbers. There's certain connections. Obviously, we don't know it all, but where we can find it, we put together what's called a super trade. And some of these, and you've seen a lot of them over the years that we've been on the show, but we're able to actually give you a number on the downside, a number on the upside that could be 30 points away, and we can also give you an hour of the day that number would be reached under normal conditions. And it can be very accurate and helpful to your trading to have both the starting price and the ending price of a decent run and try to get a piece of that out of the middle. And a lot of people are subscribers just for the super trades. And I do want to say that right now with the market being quieter, I don't want to induce people to sign up just to get them. We've had a less number of super trades, dramatically less recently, because of the quiet market, and not quiet, but the compressed nature of the market. So for July, I think we only had 3 super trades in July, where normally we might have 16. That gives you an idea of how fewer there are. In August, we had a super trade yesterday, and we had a super trade today. And generally, there's about one a day, sometimes more. But recently, it's been much less than that. So if you really want to, if you want to take a trial, you can take a look at, of course, the product. But if you really want to sign up for the super trades, wait until we get a little closer to Labor Day, because after that, there'll be a much larger volatility, and with that larger volatility comes a whole lot more of these super trades, and you can really put that information to use, and a lot of people really like it. We invite you to take a look at it. We also have a tutorial on our site that tells you how the super trade operates and some information about it if you'll have the interest to take a look at that. And so with that, Duane, I think we've covered a lot of ground today. And
we have. You looking for lower prices or higher prices rest of this session?
I don't know. To be honest with you, the completion of 999 is important, and I do expect a reaction off of there. But as with regard to how the session ends, I would tend to believe that we're going to end up down on the day, which is not a hard call to make. That's just a general observation.
Mm-hmm.
And that there's a possibility that we're going to see a multi-day decline off of the 1006 level. And from there, we would have a daily bottom that would be put in on the turning point calendar. And I do want to promise your listeners that if we do get down a little bit lower here, we will give you the turning point calendar's next date for a daily market bottom. And then we could all be buyers around that level, some of the critical prices around that level. And if they do that for us tomorrow or the next day, that'll trigger a bottom. We can be buyers into next week and maybe make some money. And you know what? I want to say this to everybody as well. You know, there is nothing wrong or immoral about making money. Your motive matters supremely. Everything else can be put aside. There's nothing wrong with making money. There's nothing wrong with setting things up so that you can try to make consistent income from something. You know, as we talked about the other day, Duane, the laborer is worthy of his wages, which is in the Bible. The markets provide an opportunity to make money. It is real work. It's very different than getting a paycheck. It's not the same as working for an employer, but you are working for a very fair employer, which is the market, which is if you handle your end properly, if you do what you're supposed to do, the market will treat you very fairly. if you try to get ahead of what you understand, you will be punished for that in the market. And this goes back to my old saying, which is that you're only entitled to what you understand out of the market. And so try to remember that. And for people that are wary of the idea that markets are gambling or something like that, yes, there is a speculative nature to it. There's no question about it. But some people are suited to this type of work, and they can do well with it if they can manage themselves. And it's not for everybody. You know, you have to realize that it isn't for everybody. Some people do much better at a regular type of a job. I myself do both. I have a company here, and I also, and I've noticed for my own, just to say it, you know, to you, that I have done better in my trading having a secondary thing going on than I do sitting all day watching the screen because of the temptations that occur with that. I do much better with my trading having something else going on. It depends on your temperament. You know, this friend of mine, Michael, who trades 1,000 contracts or more a day, he does better not having anything else going on. He drops into a very deep concentration. You can see it. He's coming out here in October, by the way.
Okay.
He drops in very deep concentration, and he just goes to town. So everybody's a little different with regard to that. But I do want to mention that there's, I just want to say it again, there's nothing immoral about money itself. We need it to live, we need it to buy things, and this is just another way to earn it. But your motivation matters a lot. You know, there's a lot of talk about money in the Bible, and it's a whole subject unto itself. But we need it to live, and it's part of how society
money
works.
Money is not the root of all evil.
No, it is not the root of all
it
evil.
It is the love of money that is the root of all evil.
Right. You could put it, yeah, that's the best way to put it. That's the best way to put it. So, having said that, if the market continues down, I'd like to have the Turning Point calendar when we come up with a date, give you a bottom, and we can all make some money on the way up.
Sounds good.
So that sounds great. Listen, I love being on the show. I hope I didn't take up too much time.
No,
I realize
no,
we've been on
it
quite a while today. And I look forward to chatting again tomorrow, Dwayne.
Thank you so much, David.
Okay, buddy. I'll talk to you then.
Talk to you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, friends, that's going to do it. I'm going to take off. Thank you for tuning in, whoever you are. Oh, and Greg should be back in the morning. And again, I do believe I'm going to be off on Friday. I'll let you know for sure tomorrow. But thanks for tuning in, whoever you are, wherever you are. May God continue to richly bless you with His mercy and with His grace. I'll see you at the bell.
Remember this, there is no greater return on investment than to see a human life changed and given hope. As always, pray hard and trade safe. Any financial information discussed on this show is simply the opinion of our host, Pastor Dwayne Reeves, and his guests. This information should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell any security. Always do your own due diligence and consult with a licensed security broker or financial planner before making any investment decisions. You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network.